The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy. It's your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast in the entire universe, world, of all existence, of all time. You've your two favorite hosts. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful night for a podcast. And we have already done this once, but we had to do it again because of technology. But now is the real time.
And I'm sorry that was so fast. I know that every Thursday morning at 5 o'clock in the morning Central Time, you are all waiting on bated breath to hear one of our voices give the beautiful introduction you've come to know and love. I'm sorry that I rushed it, so I'm going to take it slower one more time. I'm going to do it again.
You don't need to do that again. We could just do the podcast. Carmen was so close to my house this week, and he didn't even come visit me.
Wow.
Like, so
in fact, I could have thrown a rock at Brianna and didn't see her either. Not my fault. Although, let me tell you a story. So apparently, the city of Atlanta was going to get 2 inches of snow.
Yeah.
And the entire city was going to shut down.
Correct.
The airport was going to be in a snowpocalypse.
Yes.
So they shut down the second half of the conference. Said, everyone go home. I said, okay. So my flight was going to leave at 5:45 p.m. Instead, I moved it to 6:25 a.m. Which in Carmen time might as well have been the next day, the morning.
Okay.
So it was, yeah. So they canceled it on Friday. Saturday was my flight. It was the second half of the conference. So Saturday, 5:45 p.m. after the conference would have been my flight out. Instead, it was 6:25 a.m. that day. So Mark and I left the hotel at 4 o'clock in the morning with an Uber.
Right.
Getting to the airport naturally as humans do. Turns out the flight that I originally had, there were people who didn't change their flights and got out on time. So, could have stayed in Atlanta, could have gone and seen Brianna, but hindsight is 60/20, as they say. So
they do say,
anyways, I'm back. I'm alive. I made it through Atlanta. I like Atlanta. I went to a card store out there. I bought a couple cards.
Of course you did.
Very nice. Very nice. I feel like that's going to be my new thing now. I'm going to...
I don't think it's new at this point.
When I'm on a trip... Hold on. Let me finish. Motherfucker. Okay. Respectfully. Right. Motherfucker. Going to go to a card store every time I go on a trip and get like one card that I've been wanting for a while.
Mm.
Not like packs. Although this place did have a lot of sealed packs. It was awesome. Just like one singular card that I've been wanting for a while, and it's going to go directly into my binder. So feel good about that as part of my shtick, as part of my essence, as they say. So I feel pretty good.
Well, my essence has become baking bread, so that's what I've been doing since we last
spoke.
I figured out how to bake the bread.
I love it. I would like some bread, please.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I can mail it and have it be good.
Well, only one way to find out.
I guess that's true. Is it legal to mail it?
I think it's legal to mail bread, yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Well, why wouldn't it be?
I'll find it. I don't know. Laws?
No? Well, that's a good point.
But I don't know if you've noticed, only some people have to follow those.
Well, and I don't know if you know this, but only some people have to not be registered sex offenders if they actually commit sex crimes in an illegal sex trafficking ring. So,
yeah, And then also they get to be just in charge of the literal free world. So.
Yeah. You know,
the atrocities, they persist. They get worse. Yeah. They get more atrocious somehow.
Yeah, and not in a good way.
Scream into a pillow. We're all in this together. And you know, it is hell. It is hell on earth.
That's very nice.
Thank you.
If you guys are out there feeling like it's a really tough day for you, the best medicine I can suggest to you is to go out and buy Pokemon cards and mail them to me to have.
The best medicine I can suggest is seek therapy, because they might have to give you actual medicine.
I was actually going to say something different. Apparently not. Can't think of it.
Okay, so really quick, fun update. Not fun, but right before Christmas, I went and found a new PCP. She did a lot of blood work. Some of it came back flagged, and they were like, oh, you definitely have some kind of autoimmune disorder. We need to get you in to a rheumatologist for them to diagnose you. So they like sent an urgent referral. So I called those people to get the appointment set. The earliest they could see me is April. But they, when I called them, they were like, just so you know, we are out of your network, so this is going to be the upfront cost. And then if you want to like go to a lab that's in network to get more lab work done, you could do that. And I was like, perfect. So I'll make the appointment and then I'll just like see if I can get a different appointment in network. So I called the original doctor back and I said, can you give me maybe a secondary referral to someone that is in network? And they said, absolutely. We called this other one that's in network. And I said, great. So I called that place. Because I gave it like 2 weeks and I hadn't heard from them. And I was like, I'm just going to call because like it's the new year and that was around like Christmas. So make sure it didn't get lost in anything. So I call and I was like, hey, I got a referral and I wanted to make an appointment. And she goes, when did your referral get sent from the doctor? And I said, it got sent like 2 weeks ago. Like the near mid to late January. And she goes, oh, okay. So our referral coordinator's kind of behind right now. So they're processing referrals from October and they're scheduling those appointments for the end of this year.
Hmm.
And she goes, so she'll call you when she gets to January. And I said, okay. I was too stunned to speak.
So a year.
Yeah. And so then I said, that's a bummer. Initially I was like, well, I'll just keep this one from April that's out of network and I'll just, you know, suck it up and pay this, you know, money that I'd rather not pay, but I also could potentially like, I just feel like it's important to know if I have some kind of disease. Because allegedly I do. So then I called my dad and I said, anything you could do to like speed this along? Because again, he works at a hospital. He worked previously at the hospital that is backed up for a year. And I was like, I don't know if you can do anything here. And he was like, probably not, but I can see about like, see if we can get you in at where he currently is, which also might be out of network. But if he could get me in earlier than April, it will be worth it. So that's what's happening with me. He did tell me that rheumatology is historically, canonically, usually in the US, the most backed up because they are the like least staffed as far as specialties, because apparently they pay the worst. Mm. So people very rarely elect to go into it.
Interesting.
So fun for them because it feels like an important job. Diagnosing yes. people with ailments so they can get the treatment they need. So insurance is fun. Everything's great. And if you're listening from another country and you're going, that sounds so dumb, why can't you just go to a doctor and find out what's wrong? I would love to know as well.
And that's the correct question to be asking.
You are folks. Right.
That's, yeah.
We are, as a society, wrong.
Just doing it bass ackwards, as they yeah. say.
When she told me that they were that backed up, I was like, that's not even like, I don't feel like I can even be mad. Like, it's not one person's fault. That's, again, just the system failing as it always does. So that's the update here.
Yeah, that's a bummer. I hope you get in. I hope you get in, and I hope all that time, whenever you do get in, they finally go, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no problem. You're good.
See, I honestly would rather them give me a diagnosis that has a treatment attached to it. Because for a lot of my life, they've been like, no, yeah, you're good. Just, you know, everything feels terrible on you all the time and you're exhausted no matter how much you sleep. Sorry, sucks to suck. You're just tired and broken. So it would be great for them to say, actually, you do have X, Y, and Z, and there is a treatment. It is this simple pill and everything in your life is perfect now. And then I will say,
yeah, that
wow.
would be nice. What a treat blessing this is. What a blessing treat this is.
That is my hope and dream. But anyways, let us discuss Grey's Anatomy.
Let us.
This television show that we have gathered here today. Grey's Anatomy is the reason we are gathered here today.
Goodness. Yeah, let's do it. Let's talk about Grey's and let's do some good. Let's do some good in the world.
Let's put out the good juju. This is the 8th episode of the 10th season. It is the 204th episode overall. It is called 2 Against 1. And that is a song.
Yes, it is a song that not has a lot of information. That
has not.
Has
not has.
Has not. Not that not has information. It does.
All right, Yoda.
Like, just imagine Yoda being even more dyslexic. So not a lot of information about this song. I did listen to it. Good song. I feel like I have heard it before, but not a lot of love on like the charts. But I do have some information about the album that it's from. It is off of the album titled Rome.
Who sings
and it? The album is Rome. It's a song by Danger Mouse and Danielle Lupi featuring mm-hmm. Jack White. So not too bad. I did enjoy the song. The chart for the album, though, the album did pretty well. It hit the top 20 in Canada at number 15, the UK at 20. And then the U.S. Billboard 200 at number 11. So did pretty well on the charting for the album. None of the songs off of that were singles for this record. I'm going to go ahead and give it a subjective. I'll give it like a 2.9. Objective, I'll give it a 2.1 because objectively it doesn't have any charting information. So that's how I'm going to give it. Did not make it to my iTunes library, but not a bad song. It kind of has that vibe of a song that you feel like you've heard. But if you've heard any song that Jack White's been on, you kind of have heard them all. So, and that's not a dig to Jack White. If you're out there listening, you're like, Jack White's my favorite. You could jack off, Carmen. I'm like, okay, all right, calm down. Don't yell at me. anyways, so I'm going to give it back to you, Kelsey.
Thank you. Yeah. This episode was written by Meg Marinus, which is the current showrunner. It was directed by Kevin McKidd, who is, of course, Owen, everyone's least favorite person. And it aired November 7th, 2013, to 8.68 million views. And the Netflix synopsis for this one is, the feuding continues at Grey Sloan, with Meredith and Christina fighting over a new piece of equipment and Bailey on the verge of a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, that synopsis actually gives a little bit more insight to the Bailey thing because I feel like Bailey... We touched on this last week. Totally valid in her challenges with Ben. I don't want to be insensitive to the potential trauma that they have written into the Bailey character from her mm-hmm. divorce. I'm not understanding if this is the nervous breakdown is connected to the Ben making a life decision without consulting her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a hard time understanding. This feels like a big reaction, and I don't want to diminish that. I'm just having a hard time.
Right. I think
so if you have any thoughts on this, I'm open to understanding this more.
Without spoilies, had to like kind of guide you, I would say the interpretation is it's like a reaction to maybe a loss of or a feeling of a loss of control. With in relation to not that she was controlling Ben, but just like that was maybe an area of her life that she did not have to worry about. And then if we'll take it back to last season, if you'll recall when she had the staph infection and all those people died. And then she was like,
yeah,
wouldn't operate. But then the reason she did operate was because Meredith needed her to operate. And then I think kind of coupled with this particular patient, for those of you who do not recall this episode, she has a patient where they have to replace part of his throat muscle to be super
something
medical.
Like that.
But they're pulling from his colon to do that. So obviously that is like a very contaminated area of the body. So there is, I think, even without the Ben aspect, I feel like that would maybe play a part in this. But I think when you combine into it, okay, now Ben's back and it's just like a lot of change all at once and just kind of like a loss of feeling of in control would be my assumption of how to best explain it without just telling you what's happening.
Okay, I get it. I get what you're saying.
So just watching, you thought it was solely because of Ben?
I understand that it was a loss of control and a loss of a betrayal in essence, right? I understand
loss
that
of trust.
That part,
yeah.
You know, all of that makes sense to me. I guess I'm having like I'm going to oversimplify this. In my world. So again, please understand, anyone out there listening, not trying to be insensitive to this at all. In real world. But like if Jess and I were long distance and we made that choice and she all of a sudden moves back and says, hey, I got my old job back. And by the way, we're going to have time together. And also it's paying me more money probably than what I was making. I don't know that I would have such a big reaction. I'd be like, oh, cool. All right. I mean, okay, crazy. Should have told me, but like, you're back. Hooray. I don't know. Again, oversimplifying it, but I think you are the one who educated me on the pay of anesthesiologists. So feels like a pay improvement, but I don't know.
I think it's not just one thing. I think is the best way to put it. It's a combination of many things. Also, Richard is just still in the hospital, and like it is literally been 8 episodes.
It's been 108 episodes.
It's enough, Richard.
We're ready. We're ready for this to be done.
This episode, you know, it was an episode of Grace. Things happened. Things progressed, I guess, is really just people were there. They were at the hospital. They were doing things. Some people were grumpy. Some were hostile.
Some people were grumpy. Yeah. I guess let's start. Should we jump into, is there anything else with Bailey, with her storyline? She yells at Joe. She has like almost like a panic attack almost. But it starts with, there's a smell in the room.
Says there's a smell in Tuck's room and Ben says there's not and mocks her for it. And she is of course right because she is Miranda Bailey. But she's like, you don't understand. It's gross. You can't smell it. and he thinks it's only about him. He's, I think, missing, again, like, big picture, and he's like, well, it's so glad I came back, because clearly there's something going on with you, which is just doesn't feel like the best.
Yeah.
Like, I see the sentiment on his part, and I think he thinks he's being supportive, but he's also kind of like, there's little jab things he's throwing in, and I don't think he knows. I think potentially he's reading whatever she's going through as like her being passive aggressive because she's mad at him, when in reality I think it's a lot deeper than that. And I do think ultimately he does pick up on that.
And I think he picks up on that in the surgery.
I think that's the biggest
time where he's like, oh shit, something.
So yeah, they need to check for the spillage. They put a patch on it, and then she wants to do a secondary check, and they do it, and she's like, cool, there's no leaks. And then Miranda panics and is like, there is a leak. We have to patch it again. And Ben is like, you know what?
She's like, I see that bubble. You see that little bubble right there?
She's like, back me up, right? And he goes, well, I don't have a good view, but if you think you saw it, I'm sure you're right. Like, there's no harm in like throwing an extra patch on.
Which, for the record, is both supportive from a husband mm-hmm. standpoint, but also when you're the lead surgeon, it's probably not the best thing to be like, lead surgeon? You're dumb. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think from both on behalf of the patient and in a mindset of teaching, he's not doing a disservice to anybody. Like, that's just not that in that moment in the surgery is not the time to question her or anything like that. So, then later when she finds the apples in Tuck's room, she does, you know, she's like, you didn't smell it, whatever. And again, this is when I think he believes he's being supportive, and he's like, well, it's like something's going on with you. You know, what is it? And she's like, no, because there were apples in here. So you're wrong. But obviously they are showing that there is something else going on with her. You know, they're not really laying it out plainly at this point. So I'm glad you said you weren't really sure how to read it, because I was kind of trying to see. It's hard to watch it now and be like, well, obviously it's this because I know what it is. So it's interesting to hear you say you don't know what it is. I was interested to ask you specifically.
And the way it's manifesting though is interesting, right? Like, so let's go back to when Bailey murdered those people because of her gloves, right?
Right.
Had to throw a quick murder dig in there just for murder equal charge. Opportunity murdering. Yeah. But when she went on a murder spree and killed three people, she kind of, when she was out of surgery, she dove into research and like other things and being in the lab, and mm-hmm. there was a very clear like, okay, I'm not going to be in surgery, but I'm going to still do things that are productive. Here it's like she's in surgery, but she's going to lash out at people whenever she has the opportunity. Mm-hmm. She doesn't seem like a lasher, you know, like, I guess I'm confused at the character arc that they're trying to build her up to. And again, not oversimplifying this, but she's getting a more stable home environment for her child. The familial thing to me in Bailey's character they've written supersedes the Bailey who needs to be in control all the time or is like on this verge of a panic attack. I don't know. Again, I need to see this story kind of come through a little bit more, but when he was like, yeah, you're like pulling on your fingers. And that last scene where she's like just cracking her knuckles and twisting her fingers. And I'm like, bro, are you going to like rip your finger off? Like, what is actually happening right now? So.
Well, if you'll recall back
kind of going
to
the neurosis at the end of the episode.
Right. Which was triggered by the staff situation with the gloves and Pegasus. And she was kind of messing with her hands with that as well. So I think that has like, is tied back to like the uncleanliness aspect of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. But yeah, clearly something's going on. I'm curious to see what the rest of the storyline looks like. I'm curious to see how, like, how she gets out of it, mentally. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'll see. I know all of you at home know how it ends.
I don't know. I feel like we've got a couple people that listen. I don't know that they when they find us and they're listening for, or watching for the first time, I don't think they stay on the schedule with you. I think most That's people fair. Just binge it like normal humans.
What's crazy about binging TV shows is I don't think I've progressed any farther in The Bear, but I'm going to blame my wife on that one.
What have you switched to?
Nothing. I'm not watching anything.
Then watch Private Nothing. Practice.
I can't. I don't have the time. I don't have the time.
But you're not watching anything.
Because I don't have time. It's not like I'm saying, I don't want to watch anything right now. I want stare to at the watch wall. Things. Well, actually, right now, all of my free time has been consumed with Pokemon.
Yeah. Fun for me.
Yeah. We should do a Pokemon podcast where you just watch me play fine. The video game. Oh.
You did post a very long reel about Psych that I did not watch because of spoilers.
That's fair. My
but
bad.
But at the rate that I'm going to run out of television to watch well before you're ready to watch a new show with me. So I'm going to have to crack into all the ones you forebode.
No, I forebode it.
Yes, well, you can't back it up with, you know, anything. So
I forbode.
Tis forbidden.
I forbid it. Okay, any other thoughts of the Bailey thing? It is.
I don't think so.
I don't love the lashing. Again, she's lashing out, but, you know, ultimately, we all love Bailey. I think that's a pretty... Unless you're on the show and you're like, Bailey's my least fucking favorite character on the show. Hot take. But also, like, I want to see her succeed. And I want to see her and Ben be happy.
Right. Wouldn't it be nice if there was one couple that was doing okay?
I mean, I think Derek and Meredith are doing pretty good right now.
I guess. Right now, for sure. They've had their ups and downs. To say the least.
To say the least.
Okay, so what next? What next? Let's talk about Richard.
Oh, Richard.
Big week for Richard. Rambling on to the non-intern interns about, you know, every
glory
thought he's
days.
Ever had. And his neighbor is just like yelling at him constantly, like, tell a new story, you're so old and boring. Like the fucking, those two guys in the Muppets, Stadler and Waldorf. So I
Great
think,
metaphor. Great metaphor.
I love the Muppets. So she's just like dragging him constantly. And he is like, leave me alone. Then also he like won't get up and walk, but no one's saying anything about that. They're like, come on, let's walk. And then he just keeps saying no, and no one's like pushing him. They're like, all right, because he's like, oh, I'll do it later. And they're like, okay, bye. Just
surely he will do it later if he says he's going to do it later.
Yeah, why would he lie? So he is not leaving the bed. CJ, the neighbor, who is also the mom from My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh, nice.
She is harassing him. She is walking around like, everyone, I've heard your stories, get new stories, everyone hears your stories, you tell the same stories, blah, 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 all this stuff. And then she's like, let me tell you a story. And it's just a recipe, which is very funny
to
me.
So funny. When he's at the end, he's like, okay, and then what? And she's like, then it's done. You eat
then
it.
You have a meatball.
It's a recipe. Yeah, you have a meatball. That was really funny. I like What I thought was going to happen when they first had like the yelling match in between the two, I thought they were going to have this no face character just like in the background yelling at Weber. That would have been really funny. I'm glad they gave her a face and, you know, a reason for him to leave the bed. I like her. I'm rooting
so
for
she
CJ.
Was walking. Then all of a sudden she just stops talking. And he's like, oh, CJ, CJ. And he gets up and she's collapsed. And suddenly, even though his door is like right out of the nurse's station, there's no one in the whole hallway because of plot. And so he has to run over. He starts compressions. April comes over and he's like, no, let me do compressions. You go get all this stuff. And, you know, he starts calling out for the meds. He gets her back.
He goes full golden ticket Willy Wonka from bedridden to CPR on his friend CJ. Yeah. So funny. Nope.
Yeah. So then April's like, oh, you should have let me do it. He's like, no, it's good. I'm exhausted in a good way. And I was like, unrelatable. I'm only exhausted in an exhausted way.
The worst ways.
And he's like, I have lost myself being here, but like, it felt so good to be back and be doing what I know. So obviously that ties in with sex for her.
So, that was how I read it.
So yeah, he's still in the hospital, but he gave a lady CPR. So,
which, you know, is good for things like the billing department at a hospital, which is like capitalism, which is like we're gonna take a break really quick. So we'll be right back.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And we're back. Yeah, it was an interesting tie-in to the sex thing.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Yeah, so for April's storyline that is somehow tied to Richard giving this woman CPR, she and Matthew are doing premarital counseling. And they take like a compatibility test and it says they're 90% compatible, blah, 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 all this stuff. Makes perfect sense, honestly. And then Matthew's like, oh, well, there's one way that we're not equal. And she thinks they're talking about money and he's talking about sex. And he's like, you've had sex and I haven't. So we should have sex now instead of waiting. And she's like, okay. And she,
yeah, that was like a real, real quick. And when she's like, well, the pastor did say we should blah, blah, blah. Woman. Don't try, like, you think the pastor is going to give, of all people,
also,
is going to give you
like,
the green light?
For me, it read immediately as her not being into it and just saying that because she didn't know how to tell him no.
Yeah, it was just not good all around. But she caved and flip-flopped on it for whatever reason. Again, her reason or she wanted it or she didn't. Very quickly.
But also, he's the one that's asking for it. Let's call a spade a spade. Let's not only blame the woman.
No, for sure. He really should not have even be bringing it up. He's only bringing it up because she's had sex before and he hasn't. But also, it's interesting that they're having this conversation before. Am I not remembering him being like, it's Jackson, isn't it? They did, right?
Yeah.
They did. I'm like, yeah, wait a second. That should have been a bigger conversation in my mind, if anything.
Because they still work together?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Matthew seems trusting, you know, clearly, because he knows that it was Jackson and he's not like, never speak to him again.
Yeah. Although I don't know that they've interacted. I don't know if Jackson and Matthew have interacted since.
They did after he proposed, but I don't know if they've interacted since Matthew found out it was him. But this was an interesting...
Fact checkers, go to
work. Yeah, this is an interesting storyline to me, just thinking about you and I and the upbringings that we had. As far as, like, we were both in the church world. And I think they're similar, but also a little different, just because here in the Bible Belt, where I am located, the purity culture is rampant. And what I liked about this storyline is they are showing it on being both sides, because a lot of times purity culture ends up boiling down to only a woman should be a virgin, which is stupid, in my opinion, and sexist and patriarchal bullshit.
Yeah.
So it is, I do like at least that they're showing it as like it is coming more on both sides. I mean, what was your relationship growing up with purity culture as far as the church goes?
I feel like it was no sex adjacent things. But I feel like my moral compass, even within the church, was I just don't want to make a baby with someone who I'm not marrying. So no teenage pregnancy.
Well, also teenage pregnancy in general is a very hard thing to kind of get to work through.
Yeah. So my
I wouldn't say that's a moral compass so much as just like your
trauma,
family planning.
Fear ridden. Yeah. Yeah. I have a hard time thinking back, because after growing up in the Catholic Church and then kind of leaving after eighth grade when like the religious education classes stopped, I kind of went like 2 year, like freshman, sophomore year, not super involved. And then sophomore year, I think I got a little bit more involved with the church because there was a cute girl who lived down the street who invited me to youth group. So naturally I said, yeah, I'll go with the cute girl to youth group.
Right.
So, and that was how I got back into church. And it was, I don't want to say that there was like super cliche, because there's definitely, the cliche of, oh, everyone at youth group is like, they're all fucking anyways. Like, oh.
Right.
They were definitely doing stuff, but I don't know that everyone was fucking, but yeah, I don't remember having like a trauma or like a guilt connected to it, or like this super save yourself from marriage mentality. Mm-hmm. Mine was more like any sexual mentality trauma that I have for sure was fear based, and it was getting a girl pregnant fear based specifically.
Right.
So I don't have a spiritualistic specific memory or core anything to the sex culture that I can think of.
Yeah, purity culture is definitely like very
purity culture. That's
tied into
you.
Religion, and then even more so in the South with like modesty. But again, I think it's way more pushed on a woman's responsibility than a man's, which is bullshit. And this storyline, I will say again, what I think they do well is Matthew isn't really like, he doesn't seem angry about it, but I do feel like he is in a way pressuring her to have sex. And I don't think
he
that's
for
his,
sure is.
I don't think he thinks he's doing that, which does not mean it's right. obviously the resolution is she's like, I was in this position and I did it and it felt bad and I don't want you to do that and then like go into our marriage regretting that, which I liked the way that she explained it. And I liked that he immediately was like, yeah, okay. Like there was, I would not have liked it if he had argued and like tried to push her into it.
Well, and then you kind of have a moment where you think they're going to agree on it and then immediately go back on it because they start kissing pretty intensely. And I'm like, oh, so we're going to just actually have sex anyways. Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, I'm glad for them. Interesting that it came from Weber standing up to go give CJ CPR for her to have that revelation. But like, you know, get your revelation where you can take it. Okay. Not everyone gets a revelation to start with, April. So go get your revelation on, girl. Yep.
So, I mean, I think the whole thing really was when he says, oh, I lost myself. I think that's really what sealed it for her, which I understand how we've gotten there. But yeah, that storyline for me is just like, there are parts of it that I think they kind of execute well, and there are parts of it that I'm like, I could do without the storyline as a whole. But the reality of it is a lot of people live that way and believe that, and that's fine. I just think that when you talk about growing up in a church and just like the, like, I don't want to say, I don't know what the word for it is, like the secrecy almost around sex, like it becomes a problem. There is like a difference between teaching sex education and still being like, you know, don't have sex until you're ready to have sex versus just being like, no one ever talk about sex and no one have it. Like that's not, those are different things. And, you're not doing anyone any favors by just not talking about sex.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was just for me, I was trying to like think a lot about it. I was like, this is simply too much for me to unpack. This is, a therapist needs to be involved with this.
Yeah. I think my other beef with, I don't want to specifically say the Bible Belt, but I do think the Bible Belt, the Southern states, and this is also, an America specific viewpoint. So I don't know what it's like in the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to talk about sex with us, email Kelsey directly, graysacademypod@gmail.com. But, the idea that abstinence is the only safe sex is just not the way we should be teaching. And I know that in my Chicagoland area public schools, like I have a vivid memory of my health teacher, Miss Howell, like she looked like the Karen, but she did not act like the Karen that you think you see with the pixie cut and the, you know, you know, whatever. But she was like, girls, if a guy ever tells you that they're too small, check this out. Takes the condom, wraps it from hand to elbow, didn't break. So like, you know, that's great. Yeah, we need that kind of reinforcement.
I will say I don't know about public schools here because I did not go to a public school. When I was at my private school, the allotted structured schedule during the school day education, quote unquote, was fear/abstinence based, essentially. Mm-hmm. Fear of pregnancy and STDs and just don't do it. Which like here, the facts are this. Abstinence is the only 100% guarantee. That does not mean
that's a fact.
The only safe way to have sex. And to your point, you are doing a disservice to people who are most likely going to have sex, by not giving them all the information. I think you're also just doing a disservice to people who are going through puberty by not like setting them up for success with the knowledge of how their own body works.
Yeah.
And because then I think people are even delayed in like figuring out their own sexuality. But that's another situation. Anyways, I don't know what it is now. When I was there, luckily we had a teacher who was like, I think we should offer sex ed for real. and I will teach it. And on Wednesdays, we started an hour late, and she said, I will come in early on Wednesdays, and we will just let all the girls who want to come in, like all the seniors or juniors, one of the other, like one of the upper classes, they can come in and sit in on this, and it will not be a requirement. No one will be graded, but we will like have it for like 3 or 4 weeks. And we did it, and everyone went, so.
That's nice.
Yeah, and I do wonder now, you know, that was obviously a long time ago because I'm old, but I do wonder how that shifted now, and like what that looks like, as what's like built into the curriculum, because again, my private school is actually not religiously affiliated at all. And one thing they did do really well was teach about lots of religions. And they would often have our assemblies open with different girls leading. Like sometimes they would have, you know, like a Christian led prayer. Sometimes they would have like other people, other students who were of various religions come in and like speak on their religion or lead a religious, what's the word I'm looking for? Not like, because not every religion prays per se, but religious
just
sentiments.
Like worshipings and...
Yeah, something like that, and just talk about it.
Practices.
So, as much as they're not a religious, singularly religious Christian high school, they still taught a lot about religion. So maybe they have, you know, shifted their sex education situation. I hope. At least. And again, I cannot speak on a public schools here because I didn't go to those. So I don't know. But yeah, that was that storyline.
I love, yeah. And then tying it back to Weber, you know, you get this end moment where he gets Callie and he's like, hey, did you hear I walked today? I did CPR on CJ. And he goes, and she goes, that was you? And he's like, oh, let me tell you, walk with me,
he's
bro.
He's like, I fucking got a new story, bitches. Everybody look out.
007 is 00 Weber, you know? So, I like the resolution to that storyline. That's nice. He gets out of bed. Matthew respects April's wishes. April gets back to her roots. There's a good all-around vibe in the mm-hmm. hospital around these storylines. Some of the other vibes are
less than good.
Yes.
Okay, so real quick before we do the next episode, we'll stay for some reason. Someone thought we should have Emma come work here. Terrible idea. In case we were not already hemorrhaging HR infractions, let's go ahead and throw in another and hire someone the chief of surgery is sleeping with actively.
Yep. Sounds like a good idea to me.
And Callie said, I'll do you one better, and I will give the most unprofessional interview of all time. So,
and I will ask you blatant HR violating questions.
I will ask you quite literally illegal questions. So it's a wild time over there, as per always. Callie's asking her, like, oh, why did you go here? Why did you leave this job after only a year? Why did you do this? Oh, you were divorced? Oh, do you want kids? How many kids do you want? And she's like, you cannot ask me these questions. Callie's like, oh, totally. Yeah, no, my bad. And then she's like, but I will answer them for you.
Yeah, that was interesting that she said, you can't ask me those, and then proceeds to just be like, okay, hair flip, I'll still answer them.
Yeah. Hot goss. Here's the tea.
Love that, so hot goss.
That was weird. And then at the end of it, Emma tells Owen, I cannot work here. These people know you, they like you. If something happens, they will fucking murder me. And I mm-hmm. don't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what would happen? Ooh, I hate when people do that. What do you think would happen? You would break up. Obviously. Like, that's the thing that happens a lot of the time.
Yeah, I don't have any. I've never dated anyone in a workplace. I think I've said that before, and I never will. Obviously, I
because you are done dating. Wife.
But yeah, I just can't. It gets messy. It's not good. You know, in a lot of places they have these like Cupid disclosure laws that you have to like talk to HR and you got to like be all involved. And I'm like, okay, this is just. Can we just skip all of this and just say workplace relationships are messy and don't work with someone in your own hospital, in your own store, in your own anything?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did marry Michael, but it's fine.
But you guys, okay, here's the thing. Well, no, you guys worked in the same area too, didn't you?
Yeah, he was my
coordinator. But no one was in charge of any, and okay, never mind.
He was my coordinator.
Yeah.
It's all right.
I guess there's exceptions.
We
to
really
all
didn't
rules,
work together very you know? Much. And I know I've told this story before, but like when it got like when we went public with it, everyone was like, "What? How long has this been happening?" And I was like, 5 months. And they said, "We had no idea. You guys like never talk to each other." And I was like, "We are just good at keeping it professional." Also, we
unlike
were really
Leah
not on the same
in Arizona.
Oh my God.
Just fucking in the shower while Arizona's walking around the whole damn episode with the ring around her neck. And even
which
Emma's
she's
like,
had the
oh,
whole
yeah.
time. And yeah, yeah, Emma's like, so you're seeing other people, but you still have the ring on. Like, what's happening?
I
and
have
Arizona's like, oh, you know,
no
I actually don't know what we're doing. I guess we're separated. What do you mean you guess you're separated? You're fucking someone else. You don't live with her. Of course you're separated. Christ almighty.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, pretty wild.
At one point, they showed us that Arizona's going to therapy. Have you not, like, did your therapist not tell you, get some fucking clarification? Because then that's on them. They should tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah. And the first time that we as the viewer are kind of seeing this thought process should not be when Emma asks you.
Yeah.
We should be getting into this in a deeper dive. And you should also maybe be talking to Kelly.
Yes, the mother of the person of the child that you co-parent with.
I will like, say to Arizona's credit, though, Callie's not doing much talking with her.
Oh, for sure, it's a failing on both of their part. Like, because it does seem like a decision was made, but no one's talked about it other than Callie being like, "Get out of my apartment." Like that was kind of the only clarifying action that's been taken.
Yeah.
It does need to be both of them talking to the other one. What is the plan? How can we move forward? Because otherwise they're both just stuck in limbo.
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay. People.
Not good. Not good.
You know, it's like sometimes you watch a movie, an action movie, and you're like, everyone in this has terrible aim when they're like trying to shoot each other. You're like, if anyone in this movie had good aim, there would be no movie. And when I watched Grey's, I was like, if anyone in the show had the ability to communicate, there would be no show.
Yeah.
So we complain about it, but it is what gives us something to watch. So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Schrodinger's cat, am I right?
Schrodinger's cat, honestly. Murphy's Law. Murphy's Law, too.
Schrodinger's HR violation.
It's Schrodinger's something. I actually did. I love Schrodinger's cat. I love using
I
it as anything. And it actually did work in work the other day. It was
well, of course, because there's cats where you work.
Yeah. All the cats. It's perfect.
And an emu.
There is an emu there.
That's wild. okay. So, do we have anything else about?
I don't know that I have anything else with those specific storylines.
We did the moment when April, like, kind of goes to talk to Arizona and she's like, oh, Matthew wants this. What should I do? Like, it's like when you almost slept with Murphy, but then you didn't. And Arizona's like, oh, yeah, I did do that, though. And April's like, well, I have to leave. Bit of silliness.
Yeah, it's all interesting. Back to the Emma interview. I will say it's I think we could look past a lot of things on this show, right? Like obviously mm-hmm. the lack of HR. We could look past that. Fine. Right. I guess my question to both the show writers and runners and directors and the characters themselves is, in what world does anyone think, also, in addition to working with this girl that I'm boinking, why would I throw that into the mix of already my ex-wife, who we've gone through a gigantic blow up, whom I've attempted to choke and murder, whom I've forced her to have an abortion, all of these things, and then throwing Emma into it as well. There's a lack of like realistic real world awareness that I just find incredible. And I'm quite jealous of that aloofness, right? Like, yeah. How can I get some of that?
Yeah, Owen's not about looking in a mirror and doing any work.
No mirror, none.
Not an ounce of self-reflection to be found in that.
Not an ounce. So anyways, it's interesting stuff when you think about the psychology of that. And then that where he walks in to the interview and he's like, so how's it going? And Callie gives him the thumbs up and she's like, it's awesome.
She's like, oh my God, like, I love her.
Yeah, I love her. I do think also this storyline, they call out that she had been married before. I don't know if they said that before, but because she was open right away and Owen wasn't, right?
I don't think they mentioned before that she was divorced. And if they did mention it, I don't remember.
I also don't actually know that gonna, I remember they did.
Ask, you know, if that was what your thoughts on her disclosing that she had previously worked with her spouse and then had to leave because the environment was so hostile.
I think it makes more sense to why she immediately calls him back in that one episode.
Oh, I see what you're saying. That does track.
Yeah. So that I feel pretty good with.
She's someone that's been through a divorce, it makes sense. Yeah. When she's like, you're not ready yet. So call me when you are ready. Cause she's been probably in the place where she's not ready.
Yeah.
To date after a divorce. So I do that. I agree with you on that. It does kind of give clarity as to why she would be chill about him being stupid. Because none of the rest of us are, so.
I know I'm not.
That Callie is doing this interview for, what is it, fetal maternal medicine?
Yeah, as opposed to Arizona or anyone else.
Yeah, like I don't know if it's supposed to just be, oh, she's on the board, so that's why she's doing it. But then it was like, well, why wouldn't it be like two board members maybe?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a weird one.
It is a weird one. I don't hate like the fact that Callie is doing, like, it's just kind of like a fun.
Yeah, I don't know that anyone thing. Else could have pulled off asking those insane questions.
Yeah. But anyways, all in all, it's okay. It's a fine storyline. She walks away and she's like, but don't break my heart, you know. My achy breaky heart.
Right.
So, you know, whatever. I'm fine with her storyline. I'm fine with her not working there. I'm just the obliviousness that Owen has, or the, you know, the willful choice to look fate in the eye and say, ah, fuck it. Let her work with my ex-wife and it'll all be fine.
Yeah. What could go wrong? Not a thing. Nothing ever goes wrong for me.
Yeah. And then why Callie was like, yeah, when Callie's like, your whole team loves you, everyone loves you, and they're gonna hate me, I'm just gonna be the woman who broke your heart. Not one person said that we saw on screen today said they love Owen.
Yeah, it was weird to me that she was immediately like, wow, these people are obsessed with you. I'm like, are they?
Yeah, it's not like it's you or me that they're talking about, it's Owen.
Yeah, it was weird to me that she was like, these people love you so much, they'll kill me in my sleep. What? Like, it just, I didn't get there as quickly as she managed to get there with that assumption.
Yeah, so. we love when things like this don't get to make, you know, any sense at all.
Yeah.
It's fine.
But we'll yeah, I mean, work. Did you have anything else for this half before we kind of pop over no. and do the rest of it?
No, I don't. I feel pretty good with pausing here and going into another episode.
Perfect. Well, guys, we will see you in just a moment, where we will start with everyone's favorite segment.